The holy month of Ramadan began this week, Muslims fasting during the day, feasting at night to elevate the spiritual life. But in Syria, the government crackdown escalated this week. In Libya, rebels are now fighting each other. There's anger in Egypt over the slow pace of change. There's been violence during Ramadan in the past, though Islam calls on followers to avoid even arguing from dawn to dusk. That's one of the many things that Vali Nasser says non-Muslims don't know about the holiday. Vali is professor of international politics at Tufts University's Fletcher School. He says another thing non-Muslims don't know is what to say. So he told us when we spoke last year.
You say in Arabic, Ramadan Mubarak, which means the blessings of Ramadan be with you. But sort of the offhand translation would be Happy Ramadan.
Well, but as we heard yesterday, Ramadan Mubarak is now a no-no in Egypt, where former President Hosni Mubarak is charged with ordering the killing of protesters. But much hasn't changed. So here again, our primer on Ramadan. It's the second biggest holiday in the world, Christmas being the first. And we asked Vali Nasser if that means big business.
It is big business because the Muslims consume more of certain things. For instance, they eat a lot more lamb. That impacts even the exports of Australia and New Zealand during that month. They watch a lot more television, particularly around the time of breaking their fast. And it's a big time for advertisers across the Muslim world. Most of the Arab world's advertising dollars are, for instance, spent in Ramadan. And so is also they roll out most of their big programs during that month.
Yeah. And again, people fast from dawn to dusk and then break the fast every night. And you're right, fast food chains offer nighttime Ramadan meal deals.
Yes, attracting people to participate in different activities, including fast food chains, restaurants, is a way in which a lot of business is generated.
Yeah. And it's not just something that's happening with the Hajj and the pilgrimage at the central point in Saudi Arabia at Mecca. You say that after oil, Ramadan is Saudi Arabia's biggest export.
Well, largely because Saudi Arabia is identified with the heart of Islam. That's where the holy cities of Islam are located. And Islamic piety has been greatly nurtured by both the pilgrimage to Mecca, but also with the greater importance that Saudi Arabia has found in recent decades owing to the oil revenue that it has. And therefore, Saudi Arabia exports a lot of oil to the West. It exports a lot of Islamic culture and Islamic piety to the rest of the Muslim world. And it has been an important factor encouraging greater observance of Ramadan.
Well, and that's had some grave consequences. As you say, guest workers bring home maybe the thinking about Ramadan, but also some pretty strict attitudes as well, because you write that at least in Aceh, Indonesia, failure to observe Ramadan is punishable by flogging.
Well, generally, in recent years, there's much more emphasis on strict observance of the Islamic faith and much less tolerance for lax behavior during critical religious periods like Ramadan. And many in the Muslim world associate this with the very strict observance of religious tenets that happens in Persian Gulf area and in Saudi Arabia in particular. Many more people travel to Persian Gulf now because of the wealth that is in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia. The culture of that area of the Muslim world is seen as the quote-unquote cool culture. It's the one that people look up to. If you spend a lot of time working in Saudi Arabia, then you got used to the way that they do things. And all of this goes back home. And in many parts of the Muslim world, if you dress very conservatively, if you do things in a very strict way, people assume that you must have been working in Saudi Arabia or in the Gulf, and that means that you're better off than your neighbor. So it's almost like people encourage strict behavior because then they can claim association with Saudi Arabia and the Gulf.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, and by the way, we've said that during Ramadan, Muslims are asked to fast. How hard and fast is that rule? In other words, if you're in a Muslim country, Egypt, say, is it beyond religion? Has it become almost criminal ever?
Well, generally, it was always looked down upon to publicly break the fast, although plenty of people, if they're ill, if they're not of age, if they're traveling, are allowed not to fast. And in fact, sometimes they're forbidden to fast, but they're not supposed to break the fast publicly out of respect for the month and respect for the fasters. But in recent years, it's become much more a government-mandated policy of policing who's fasting and who's not fasting.
Right. You write that in 2009, Egypt's interior ministry enforced edicts that made eating during the daytime fast a misdemeanor offense.
That's right. And in many cases, even secular governments are playing to the bleachers, as you would say, and try to placate religious groups and religious sentiments in the country by passing these sorts of laws that make them look very Islamic, even though they are secular governments. And these kinds of laws usually don't find much pushback and are easy to pass and easy to implement.
We're talking to Vali Nasser about the five things people probably don't know about Ramadan if they are non-Muslim. It's a list printed in Foreign Policy magazine. And number three on your list, Vali, is Ramadan is a time of peace. As we said, no cursing, no arguing allowed, dawn to dusk. But it's also marked by war. Remind us.
Well, just because people are fasting and that is a month of fasting and it's a month of peace and introspection and spiritual reflection does not mean that conflict doesn't happen. And in fact, when conflict does happen, it has much more serious symbolic consequences. For instance, the war that in the West is known as the Yom Kippur War, the Muslims know it as Ramadan War. It was during Ramadan where the Egyptian and Syrian armies attacked Israel in surprise. And part of the surprise was that nobody assumed that the Arabs would go to war in Ramadan. So in order to catch Israel off guard, they actually launched it in Ramadan. And the idea in the Arab world that soldiers were going into the battlefield, you know, hungry and thirsty, and it was their commitment to religion and country that was driving them, made the war much more spiritually significant.
Well, in fact, at the very beginning, you remind us the Prophet Muhammad waged the first, very first Muslim war against infidels during Ramadan in 624.
That's correct. Although there are times when it's convenient, people can use the excuse of Ramadan not to fight. For instance, during the U.S. operations in the Tora Bora Mountains hunting Al-Qaeda, 2001-2002, Afghans who were fighting alongside the U.S., the local Afghan militias, claimed that because it was Ramadan, they weren't going to fight and they had to go back home to break their fast. So it can play both ways.
So Vali Nasser saying that that's partly why Osama bin Laden wasn't found years ago at Tora Bora. He, of course, has since been captured and killed. We're revisiting our conversation with Vali Nasser about five things most non-Muslims don't know about the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which started this week. Vali is professor of international politics at Tufts University's Fletcher School. Now, there's much that's new. There are new cell phone applications, iPray, iQuran. They offer beeping reminders when it's time to pray. There are mosque-finding programs you can use on Ramadan. But much is the way it's always been. Before the break, Vali was talking about how Ramadan can be a time of peace or war, that it's big business. It's Saudi Arabia's biggest export after oil. And that brings us to item number four on Vali's list, which is globalization and how that's changed Ramadan. We know during Ramadan there's an obligation to fast from dawn to dusk. It used to be observed only in countries with large Muslim populations. But we asked Vali Nasser, what happens now as Muslims live around the world and dawn and dusk occur at different times?
Generally, Muslims are expected to follow dawn and dusk wherever they are. So if you're in near the equator in Malaysia, or if you're north of the equator in Turkey, you follow dawn and dusk there. And typically means that because Ramadan moves by 11 days a year, because it's based on lunar calendar, there are periods of the year when the days are longer and periods of the year that the years are shorter. But when Muslims have found themselves in very, very northern territories, in Sweden, in northern Europe, in Nova Scotia, etc., where you basically have white nights and you almost have no end of day for periods of the year, they have got permission to observe the fast in accordance to Mecca time, or the time of the most regular night and day south of where they are.
Well, for instance, there are 400,000 Muslims living in Belgium now, and in August we calculated the sun rises at 6:20 and sets at 9:15 at night. So that would be 15 hours. That would be a long time to go without food there above the 64 degrees latitude. And they would be allowed to go by sunrise, sunset, Mecca time.
Right. And in fact, going further north from Belgium, it actually becomes even more challenging.
Yeah. In some places, the sun never sets in the summer
months.
The sun never
sets. Exactly. Yeah. And because historically, the tempo of Ramadan had been governed by the cycle of night and day, parts of the world where that is absent, it creates a challenge.
Vali Nasser, you also remind us that tyrants have taken advantage of Ramadan. Turkmenbashi, who was the ruler of Turkmenistan, pardoned over 8,000 prisoners during Ramadan.
Yes.
They use it. How else is it used?
Well, it's a time where governments find latitude to do certain things, enter into a peace. For instance, during the Iran-Iraq war, Iraq offered Iran peace proposals during Ramadan. It is a time where you can forgive your opponents, where the rest of the year there's no pretext to do so.
Well, and as we said, one of the requirements is that the faithful go on at least one Hajj or pilgrimage to Mecca in their lives. Have you been?
I have not been during Hajj. I have gone to Mecca a number of times out of season, as they say. So I haven't done the obligatory pilgrimage yet. But that is an article of faith in Islam, whereas pilgrimage to Mecca is incumbent on Muslims, provided that they have the ability, financial and otherwise, to do so at least once in their lifetime. Ramadan is far more central to their lives because for most of their adult lives, they have to do this, and it's much more part of their regular cycle of their lives than the Hajjis.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vali Nasser, just one last thing. I mean, you've got this broad brush list of things non-Muslims may not know about Ramadan, how big a business it is, and that it's a time of peace, but also a time of wars. Can you give us a smaller detail, something we may not know about sitting down at the table at night to break the fast and with family? Just some detail we may not know, those of us who haven't celebrated.
Well, first of all, for most Muslims, it's a special period of the year. Every fast is almost like a mini family or a larger party. For a month, literally every night, you eat a lot. You eat with family. You eat with large groups. You go to multiple different functions. If you're in public life, you probably go to 6-7 breaking of fast parties per evening. And it's a time of tremendous amount of festivity and activity. So once the fast is broken, most Muslim cities come to life till very late hours of the night. People go out, families go out, shops who have been closed during the day all open up. For most Muslims, Ramadan is a very special time of the year. They remember it from their childhood the way a Westerner remembers Christmas. And it's also a time of the year many look forward to it because it's a time of the year where they can become intensely religious and feel close to God, but also feel a great deal of social activity and going out and festivity and celebration. It's not a very austere period of the year. It is religious, but it's also highly festive, and it combines both of these things together, and therefore, at that level, most Muslims sort of remember it very vividly as a very special time of the year.
Vali Nasser, professor of international politics at Tufts University. So to our Muslim listeners, happy Ramadan.